This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got a few texts from our segment a little bit earlier. Let's see here. We were talking about quarterbacks a little bit earlier, and Seth and I were making a case we've repeatedly made, which is Texans don't need to tank this year. There's no Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck type quarterback in this draft. We have a texter. These are some interesting thoughts from a texter. 214 says, Carson Strong of Nevada is a Nick Caserio guy. Get a defensive end and a free safety to pair with Justin Reed via your haul from Deshaun, then trade up in the second round for Carson Strong. I'll say this about that, Seth. One, I don't think Justin Reed's going to be here after this year. I think he leaves in free agency. And I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other on whether Carson Strong is a Nick Caserio guy.
You know, I think any player that doesn't have mobility, people will think is a Nick Caserio guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like,
maybe.
If he lacks mobility, like, yep, that's exactly what they want. I don't think people from New England are opposed to mobile quarterbacks. I think that I think that Belichick, Caserio, Bill O'Brien, they value a football IQ above and beyond all else. It's just really, it's really, really hard to identify and project a football IQ anymore. So they're willing to look at guys who lack mobility, more so maybe than some other coaches are.
The part of that text that I'm on board with, and granted I'm projecting ahead and envisioning the Texans having picks where they would be able to do this, but it's certainly in play, where he says a defensive end and a free safety, he says to pair with Justin Reed. I would just say defensive end and a free safety. Like, if the Texans were in position to get Kayvon Thibodeau with their first pick and get Kyle Hamilton with their second pick, holy smokes. Like, those are two, in my opinion, two potentially transformational players.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a quarterback where you do, or you're going to have a draft where you don't get a quarterback, an elite quarterback, and you've moved on from Deshaun Watson, and you've got picks where you're in position to get foundational pieces at two different levels of the defense, that's a huge step towards getting back to respectability.
Well, and this is where I am, and this is why I had no problem with the drafting of Davis Mills. Is and gosh, man, I one thing I learned, Sean, is that people definitely don't want to hear this the night of the draft. So I'm just going to hold back on saying this anymore until like a few weeks after the draft. You draft a guy like Davis Mills knowing full well there's little chance that Davis Mills is going to be a good quarterback. But the point is that there is not a single pick in the draft where you can draft a quarterback and know that the guy's going to be good. You just flat out, it doesn't work that way. There's always a risk element. So your best option is to take multiple swings at the plate. And that's what Davis Mills was. So if it is a Carson Strong, and I don't mean to act like Carson Strong like can't do anything and can't run fast. Carson Strong, he's got very good accuracy, something that Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick would like. He's got a really good arm. It just the mobility is a concern. So I think that Casario's strategy is going to be always draft a quarterback, always be drafting quarterbacks, kind of like they did in New England, like Green Bay did forever, that your best shot is to just take multiple picks. And maybe this is the year they figure it out, maybe it isn't. But, the thing to get excited about this year is the non-quarterbacks that they'll have the ability to draft.
Yep, I would agree. The same texter goes on to say, and I'm curious what you think of this comparison, Malik Willis, this is the Liberty quarterback, for those who don't know who Malik Willis is, very mobile, transfer from Auburn, and a pretty good arm, too. Malik Willis is an elite version of Tyrod Taylor, and Pep Hamilton can coach him up and Joe Brady or Matt Campbell can replace David Culley. So this texter's already got David Culley out the door, is picking his replacement. I think Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator is certainly something that could be in play. I don't think Tim Kelly's going to be here after this year, because I think a big part of why Tim Kelly was here in the first place was because of the Deshaun Watson before the Deshaun Watson situation deteriorated and then got ultra strange. Tim Kelly was here because Deshaun Watson liked him. But the part about Malik Willis is an elite version of Tyrod Taylor. What do you think of that?
And I was about to say, well, there's other guys you can compare him to than Tyrod Taylor, but it makes sense, obviously, because we're talking about the Texans.
Right.
Yeah, a guy that gives you a chance to win, if only, and especially when they're young, with his legs. Because this is what we've seen in the NFL. If everything goes right, your quarterback isn't a real NFL quarterback until year three or year four, usually. But that's, like, no matter who he is, whether he's mobile or whether he isn't mobile, they're not real genuine quarterbacks until year three or four, with some exceptions, obviously, your Pat Mahomes and whatnot. But if they can make do with their legs in the meantime, yeah, that's really, really cool. It's just the hard thing is, okay, are they going to be the guy that is making do with his legs as he's learning how to throw, or is he going to be somebody that just thinks he can make do with his legs all the time? I think quarterbacks have gotten a lot savvier about that.
Yeah.
Like quarterbacks themselves, like these college kids don't want to be known as running quarterbacks or athletic quarterbacks anymore. They want to prove that they can stick in there and run. I think the exciting thing about Malik Willis would be that you could probably get him at a reasonable price if he falls in the first round, and yet you've got all those other draft picks that you can use to build the foundation around him. You might be able to turn this thing around a lot faster than you thought, because he is the kind of quarterback that, as he's developing into a genuine NFL passer, could also just gash you a few times with his legs.
If you had all those picks, let's pretend they trade Deshaun and they've got multiple firsts and they've got multiple seconds and things like that. If you had to put quarterback on the shelf for a second, if you had to fortify one area of this team through the draft with young players, what would it be? Or are you just the best available guy, whatever presents itself?
I would say, no, I think offensive line.
Yeah.
I think that offensive line, if you know you're going to have a young quarterback at some point here, then by all means, be sure that that guy's stepping into a good environment. I've seen it with David Carr, man. I don't know. I still think David Carr at one point could have done something in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But he was playing on an offense, not just with rookie offensive linemen, but five other rookies. It was the worst possible environment for a kid to actually learn how to play football. They had some good, you know, you had Steve McKinney and a few other guys and Corey Bradford and a few genuine pros and then a bunch of rookies out there. So at the very least, yeah, give him a stable foundation to learn behind and not get David Carr.
Think about how depressing that answer is, and here's what I mean. They have invested more in the offensive line than any other position group in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, they just haven't. They've spent draft picks. They've spent Laramie Tunsil's worth 2 first-rounders.
Yep.
They spent a first-rounder on Titus Howard. Max Sharping is a second-rounder. I feel like I'm missing somebody else there. But right there, you've got 4 high picks, right? Well, five accounted for.
Another second into that Tunsil trade. I mean, you could argue that they traded, and I know people are going to say, well, they got Kenny Stilt, big deal. They traded 2 firsts and a second for Laramie Tunsil is what they did. So they've invested 3 firsts and 2 seconds in a line that you're saying they need to go get an offensive line now.
You know what Kenny Stilt is to me now, Sean?
What?
He's the first guy, after the Texans had a bunch of top-end guys for a long time, to the point where that was the weakness of the Texans, where they had too many top-end talented guys and not a good enough middle class. They were a top-heavy football team. Kenny Stills was the first guy where I really saw Texans fans start to try to bend their minds into being a better player than he was. You know, like, wow, hey, Kenny Stills, right? Look at him. Look at him go.
Yeah.
And then you'd look at him, you're like, oh, he's never had more than 600 yards receiving in a season. That was the beginning of the end, where now it's turned into, I don't want to insult anybody because they played a good game last week. But there's players on the Texans right now that, frankly, Texans fans have a higher estimation of than they should because they're the best player on, at their position on the Texans.
Yes,
team.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they're good NFL players, but they're pretty good by Texans standards.
As Eddie Murphy would say, when you've been on a desert island, whoo, this saltine is delicious.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
It's the most delicious cracker I've ever.
Sure, this isn't a Ritz?
Yeah. That's right. Most delicious cracker ever.
Oh, hey. Don't tell me about, I went on a Charlie Murphy Rick James.
I knew you would.
Show thing
I knew
binge
you would.
Last night.
I knew yeah. you would. Hey, congrats to Jason in LaPorte. He was the winner of the latest Texans ticket giveaway that we did. It's Texans Ticket Tuesday. Chance to win Texans and Jets tickets. Spend Thanksgiving weekend capping it off with some NFL football. Between 45 and the top of the hour, each hour today, that's your cue to call. If you want to get tickets, you can. HoustonTexans.com/tickets. David Culley had a very interesting press conference yesterday. He talked about his history with Bill Parcells, and I learned something that this might have made me the angriest that I've ever heard David Culley say anything. We've got it for you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast with you. 8:45 today. Be listening. And the cue to call, that's when you get a chance to win Texans-Jets tickets for this Sunday. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. David Culley's press conference was fun yesterday. It was really nice to do it after a win, so we didn't have to tear into everything he was saying. Now, he had some interesting things to say about certain facets of the team. It was far from a perfect performance on Sunday.
He said things that sounded philosophical after a win that would have sounded like horrendous excuses after a loss.
Yes.
So that's the key. That's the key in life, kids. As long as you're winning, everything gets painted with a pretty paint. If you're losing, everything you say will be taken in the worst possible light.
I enjoyed his Bill Parcells stories for the most part. There was one part of his Bill Parcells stories that got me a little angry that I'll get to in just a second.
Yeah, he went at length about Parcells because somebody had asked him about the fact that this summer he went up and visited with Bill Parcells because they've got a past, a history together, just to pick his brain about coaching,
yeah,
in general.
Parcells,
you know, and he gushed about the fact that Parcells has turned three franchises around.
Right,
that, so.
Right, right. Parcells recruited him to Vanderbilt, so that's the connection that they have back when David Culley was recruited to play at Vanderbilt. Here's David Culley talking about his visit with Bill Parcells this summer.
I called him up and asked, could I come up and talk to you about some things about how you went about it? And he said, sure. And went up and had a day with him and just kind of picked his brain. Now, while I was up there picking his brain, you know, I had to go to the racetrack to the horses and watch his trainer because, you know, he's up there. He's in Saratoga because of the horse racing because he owns some horses. But I just found out when he was up there, he treats those horses just like he did players and coaching. So it was a good experience for me.
Which he either went on to say or he said prior to that how Bill Parcells treated everybody like crap.
Yeah, yeah, that was the point of that. Sorry, we should have let that go longer. It was that he treats them like crap,
yeah,
is what he said, which I thought was like, man, I don't think Parcells would appreciate that because there's kind of a lot of scrutiny on horse racing right now about the way they treat their horses and how many horses die and everything.
Yeah.
Parcells probably like, gee, ixnay on the horse hay talk.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell,
David? I didn't see that quote get a lot of run on the internet yesterday, but I'm picturing the phone call from, hey, David, this is Bill Parcells. Can you keep the horse talk down, please? Well, I don't know why Bill Parcells sounds like Jim Irsay. I don't know. I guess everybody over 65 is drunk to me.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what Parcells. I wonder when Cully says he treats the horses like crap. I wonder if he just. I wonder if he grouses about them.
Yeah,
a lot.
That's my guess. Not like,
yeah, I'm sure he feeds them plenty of oats.
Yeah,
and all that. He's just. He's probably really tough on them and complains about the ones that aren't doing well the same way he would with players.
So we got to chuckle out of that. Now this one I did not chuckle at one tiny little bit. Here is David Cully.
I'm chuckling now. David
Cully talking about his journey to Van, talking about his recruitment back in, I guess it would be in the 70s in high school. Take a listen to what David Cully does, just kind of playing the emotions of various schools, including one near and dear to my heart.
After I signed that letter of intent, I signed a letter of intent with somebody. I don't even remember who it was. But people, MTSU, exactly right, Aaron. And everybody else kept recruiting. So along the way, I actually committed to like three or four people, you know, after I had already signed the letter of intent with Middle Tennessee. And so when he came in and started recruiting me, the thing was when he convinced me to come, he'd also heard that I told Tennessee I was coming. I told Notre Dame I was coming, and I told his team I was coming. So he nicknamed me Double Cross. So he calls me Double Cross.
How can you? You did that to the great University of Notre Dame du Lac. I cannot believe.
You know what, too, Sean? I mean, he would have been going. I mean, that was he would have split. I think Ara Parseghian and Dan Devine back then in Notre Dame, probably 74, 75, 76.
Yeah,
I think was when
he'd have been teammates with Rudy. He would have been in Rudy. He would have been. There would have been somebody playing David Cully in the movie Rudy. There would have been somebody with a Cully jersey walking in and going, for Rudy, coach.
He could have been part of that Gator Bowl win of 76.
Oh, God, he's probably
the Cotton
so sick.
Bowl win of 77. Okay. He really messed up choosing Vanderbilt
that
over Notre
77,
Dame.
77, that Cotton Bowl win was over the University of Texas, and Notre Dame won the national championship with that win. And then the next year, Cougs, but the next year they beat the University of Houston with Joe Montana.
That story, and again, I'm glad he told that story after a win, even though it's in the middle of a miserable season. I can't think of a more David Cully story than that story right there, where, A, he's kind of making like a folksy tale about him being really, really dishonest about something and somehow passing it off like, hey, dude, I'm just lovable, chatty, positive guy. And then B, David Cully, who gets himself in trouble because he just wants to say something to make you happy. He's a people pleaser. He just, can I say anything? Can I keep talking until you're happy? And you can envision him with each one of these coaches, like him enthusiastically telling them, yeah, you guys recruited me really well. I'm coming. Dude. I'm coming to Middle Tennessee State. I'm coming to Vanderbilt. I'm coming to Notre Dame.
Can you imagine high school David Cully operating in the age of rivals.com and social media and the internet? He would be a legend. Yeah, oh, Cully, that's the kid that commits to every school that recruits him.
It's not that he dropped out of one commitment. He was simultaneously committed to, it sounds like, five schools.
Yes.
Was it?
He's a football polygamist.
Double cross.
He must have been. You know what though, Seth? He must have been kind of a late bloomer. I mean, it's probably harder to track guys back then because there's not obviously not video getting passed around on the internet and things like that. But if he signed a letter of intent with Middle Tennessee State University, and then all of a sudden he's getting courted by Notre Dame and Tennessee and Vanderbilt. He must have been a little bit of a late bloomer. All the big dogs getting in on him after he signed his letter of intent.
I honestly there is a part of me. It's funny a story as that is, and it's a long time ago. I thought like one of the good rites of passage for me as a young man was like having to call various programs and tell them that I wasn't going there. Yeah. And that wasn't like I was heavily recruited or anything, but it's always hard. It's hard to tell a grown football coach authority figure like, nope, I don't choose you. I don't know. There's something about that rubs me the wrong way. That Cully just flat out just kept saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Like, and that is it. You know what bothers me? That he's not ashamed of it. I would not be proud or happy or tell a funny story about my nickname being Double Cross.
It's like, well, yeah. I mean, it's like he feels like there's a statute of limitations on it. Like, you know, It was 50 years ago, so who cares?
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff that I've done that I'm ashamed of. Right. But you know what? The ones that I haven't rectified yet are the ones I don't tell in public. Okay. Like if I've gotten better about something, then I'll tell the story.
So maybe maybe he went and apologized to Ara Parseghian and said, Coach Parseghian, like on Ara Parseghian's deathbed, David Culley visited him and said, he went to the hospital, and Ara Parseghian's family is like, who are you? I'm David Culley. Who?
Yeah.
And Ara Parseghian looked up at him when he walked in the room and said, who are you? I don't remember you. I don't remember verbally committing to you. There were hundreds of players who double-crossed me back in the day.
Yeah.
Old double-cross. All right, so that was Coach Culley's little story with Bill Parcells. Along those lines, we got one more from Culley. We'll push it into the next segment. So, along the lines of being a pleaser, because I think David Culley is a pleaser above and beyond everything else. I think that's one of the reasons he has a job. He's a very happy person. You can hear in that story committing to multiple schools. Is the answer to the Texans' offensive line play, assessing it from over the weekend against the Titans, where it was horrible in the run game and so-so in the pass game, is this the answer that lines up with somebody who would commit to several different colleges back in the day? That is next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Be listening in about 10 minutes, and that is when the window opens for you to win Texans-Jets tickets for this Sunday. Good way to cap off Thanksgiving weekend. Texans-Jets, NRG Stadium. If you want to get tickets, HoustonTexans.com/tickets. Here was David Culley. We just got done sharing the anecdote, or we had audio of David Culley sharing the anecdote of how he committed to several different schools back in his college days before committing to Bill Parcells and Vanderbilt. Is this answer to the Texans' offensive line play on Sunday, which despite the win was subpar in many ways, is this the answer that someone who said yes to at least four different colleges would give?
Simultaneously to four different colleges. Switch. He just kept those colleges thinking that they had a commitment from David Culley.
Right, and it was so noteworthy that Bill Parcells, the legendary Bill Parcells, nicknamed David Culley Double Cross. Here is David Culley on the offensive line play of the Texans this past weekend.
Well, one of the reasons our pass protection was pretty good, we had no sacks, so we only threw it 23 times. And we rushed the ball without Tyrod 31 times, which has a lot to do with that. The rushing yardage and per carry wasn't there, but the attempts were there. And that was important to be able to have those attempts. And when you do that, you know, it takes the pressure off those guys. And when we did throw, most of the time it was off of a play action. And when Ty got a little pressure, he was able to get out and make some things happen on his run. And that was all with his feet. And that was all because of us being able to run the ball. Attempt to run the ball.
They were committed to attempting to run
the ball. The last part was confusing to me, where he said, you know, and Tyrod Ty was able to get out and do some things with his feet, and that's because we were attempting to run the ball. Like, well, every time I watched him use his feet, it was because they were you were passing the football, and Tyrod Taylor was under tremendous heat because the pocket was collapsing.
I think, maybe because the defense was trying to play the run because they knew they were trying to attempt the run. Sean, it made enough sense, okay, that I just wanted to
did
not,
it?
I wanted to not think about it at all. That basically the pass protection was better because we just decided they chose the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
What Culley figured was, okay, we've got a lead. We could either suck at running the ball or we could suck at passing the ball. The downside is a lot less with sucking at running as long as your defense holds up their end of the bargain, in the second half, they were three and out over and over and over and over again. It wasn't a winning effort by the offense in the second half. It's just the defense continually bailed them out.
What was weird about that, the three and outs you're talking about, Seth, is that they spent a lot of the first half just running head first into the line and hoping they could get whatever they could on the ground, mostly behind the running of Rex Burkhead. But during those drives where they were going three and out, three and out, three and out, there were four straight three and out punts that they had after going up 19-0 in the game.
Yeah.
They had started throwing the football on those drives. Like, Tyrod Taylor was like a combined 1-for-7 on those series. So it's like, okay, all of a sudden, the team that wants to run the football now the time where you actually should be running it just to burn clock. You're up 19-0 in the rain. Honestly, if they had on those, and I was saying this to Clint as I'm sitting there, I said to Clint, this is the one time, David Culley, one of the things he said in his preseason press conference was, or it might have been at his introductory press conference where he was talking about philosophy, and he said, you know, he was talking about turnovers and not turning the ball over. He said, I'm one of those guys that if we go three and out and punt, that's okay. And I'm like, okay, this is the one game that you've had so far this year where that actually makes sense. It's raining. It's 19-0. Your defense is playing really, really well. If you want to run the ball three times just to burn 2.5 minutes off the clock and then punt it back to them, awesome. They had four drives where they combined to burn 5 minutes off the clock. That's it.
Yeah.
Because they were throwing incomplete passes.
It was, it really wasn't until the fourth quarter that they started going super run heavy, really the last few drives.
Yeah.
And it was, they also, I'll remind you, they couldn't complete any passes.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was it 1-for-9 at one point?
Yeah.
I think that's in the second half. So I guess they were just so wholly incapable of doing anything in the air. And it was, look, the weather had a lot to do with it. I think it's a shame sometimes that when people go back and I'll see this sometimes when people do their film breakdowns, they'll use the all 22. And on the all 22 especially, you can't tell that it's raining as hard as it is.
Right.
You can barely tell on the TV copy. You know, on Sunday's game, you could hear the raindrops more so than you could see them. But the weather, you could almost see from drive to drive if it was just kind of misting or drizzling, teams could pass the ball. It was those heavy, heavy downpours that were really screwing everything up. So I cut them a break in a lot of ways, not just because of the wind, but because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, you know, the Texans were able to force some turnovers. It wasn't like they were awful duck passes or anything, but the rain makes it a lot harder on
a
quarterback.
I think even though I'm saying this about a quarterback who only threw for 107 yards, but if Tyrod Taylor's not their quarterback in that game, they lose the game and they're still trying to score their first touchdown in God knows how long. Actually, I know exactly how long it would be, but I choose not to. It's over now. We can put that in the rear view. Along those lines, Seth, we have a text. The Texans need to sign Tyrod Taylor to a 2-year extension before the end of the year. There are no better options out there for the foreseeable future. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going on my walk. I would be cool with Tyrod Taylor coming back next year as the starting quarterback for this team. Would you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. I think he's the perfect bridge quarterback. And I don't like, I think at some point when inevitably, if you do draft a guy in the first round this year, at some point he'll supplant Tyrod Taylor next year. Probably. Unless it ended up being like an Alex Smith type situation in Kansas City, that where you're competitive, maybe you're on track to compete for the playoffs, and then you just keep him in there because you've got a 20th overall pick or something at quarterback. Then maybe you just let that guy sit and wait and see. But I think he's the perfect guy for what this team needs right now.
Yeah, how about draft Malik Willis and keep Tyrod Taylor to kind of mentor him for a couple of years?
Yeah,
that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, and because Tyrod's a guy that is perfect. The thing that's perfect about Tyrod in terms of being a mentor, perhaps to young players, is that Tyrod really understands his own limitations and works with them. Sometimes maybe a little too much. There's times when he's healthy where you wish he'd be a little bit more aggressive. But he's very careful with the football. He understands when his legs can be an asset, but he also understands when to throw it. And I think he can teach a lot of lessons to a young quarterback, especially because Tyrod was a guy that was on the bench for 3 years before he ever got a chance to start. He had to sit and learn the lessons and pick up a lot of stuff along the way.
If Tyrod Taylor coming back is part of, like, as I think of that, as I envision what that looks like, look, Tyrod Taylor comes back, it's not like all of a sudden you go, there's moves available to them that, eureka, you're a playoff team again. I don't think that happens, but if your offseason consisted of, first and foremost, flipping Deshaun for as much draft capital as you can get, then re-signing Tyrod Taylor as a bridge guy for a year or two, the 2-year deal where the second year is sort of funny money, you know, that kind of thing. You then use those draft picks to fortify, to do one of two things, either fortify a whole bunch of areas or draft Malik Willis. And then you kind of, in free agency, or I'll call it free agency retention, I think you and I, Seth, probably have like 4 or 5 guys in mind that are on these little 1-year deals that you go, you know what, bring this guy back on a reasonable 2-year deal. You know, there's a few guys. I think You know, Desmond King this past weekend looked like a guy like that. Kamu Grugier-Hill. You know, as long as it's $2-3 million, I'm not saying that any of these. Malik Collins. Most of them are on defense right now, not offense. And then the last thing, clean out the running back room. Like, clean it out and bring in all new guys. If that's the to-do list, like, if those are the things that Nick Caserio executes this offseason, trade Deshaun for a bunch of draft capital, bring back Tyrod Taylor, knowing what he's going to be for this team. He's a pure bridge guy. Use all the draft capital to strengthen your team or maybe draft a quarterback. Willis is the guy that excites me. Keep the guys you want to keep and move on from every single running back on this team. I think if that's the checklist and he puts green check marks next to all those, that's a good offseason to me.
You know, Sean, I used to say that I thought that New England ruined Bill O'Brien in some respects, and a lot of offensive minds in some respects, because Tom Brady makes some of the things that seem like they shouldn't be that big a deal. Like, he makes some things that are a big deal seem like they shouldn't be a big deal on the football IQ side of things. I think a lot of people in New England really didn't understand that wasn't a system. That was Tom Brady's system that Tom Brady could run. And other guys might be able to do similar things, but you're not going to be able to do some of the things with other guys that you did with Tom Brady. I think it filters down to running backs where, like, I think of all the various running backs that have looked like studs in New England and then go elsewhere and they're just guys, you know, and they're just disappointments. And that's because they were working with Tom Brady. And I hope that's not what the case was with Nick Caserio this year with these running backs with the Texans. Because I don't, you know what? Yeah, you put any of these running backs in a Tom Brady offense and they'd probably be doing a lot better than they are right now. Because Tom Brady just has the perfect knack for getting the right play called, finding the right matchups for running backs and as route runners and all of that, that you're just not going to have from anybody else. I hope that's not the case. I hope this is just that I hope Caserio was planning on these guys being as miserable as they are, and it's just all part of losing some football games.
Yeah,
because man, this was perhaps the least impressive part of the off-season building program, where you're spending relatively respectable money on all these guys. They extended David Johnson. The only one that showed even any kind of credibility or promise for the longest time was Mark Ingram.
Right.
And you just traded him away.
Yep.
And it wasn't like he was doing great or anything. He was at least credible.
No, but I mean, my God, he was LaDainian Tomlinson compared to David Johnson and Philip Lindsay. I mean, he was in a different league than either of those guys. Text message. Be listening within the next few minutes here. Our next Texans Ticket Tuesday giveaway is coming up. The first overall, okay, I want to put to bed a myth here, Seth, on this text, because we've heard this before. Hey, guys, even if they're not going to draft a quarterback, the first overall pick could be flipped for more picks than the fifth overall pick, it would seem. Here's the problem with that. You only get a bonanza for the first overall pick, or really any high pick, bonanza. If a team is trading up to get a quarterback. Otherwise, you can get stuff, and yes, you probably could get more than you could get for the fifth overall pick, but you're only worrying about having the first overall pick to get a bonanza of draft picks if you already have a quarterback, and there's a quarterback in this draft. For example, like if somehow, I don't know who was picking quarterbacks high last year. Jacksonville. Let's pretend Jacksonville wound up with the first overall pick this year. They ain't picking a quarterback again. So they would be open for business with the first overall pick. The problem for Jacksonville is that there's not a quarterback in this draft that other teams would want to move up and go get. Take that to the Texans. You're saying, well, if the Texans get the first overall pick, you could flip that for more picks. Only if a team out there wants a quarterback. And by the way, the Texans are a team that wants a quarterback. So if they have the first overall pick and there's that quarterback out there that theoretically teams would trade up to go get, the Texans are going to take him. They're not going to trade down.
Leading into, let's see, this was in 2015, and then you can fill in the blanks after that because you're better with doing stuff off the top of my top of your head.
Okay.
Heading into 2015, there were 9 times where 2 teams agreed on trading the number 1 overall pick. These are the guys they were traded for: Eli Manning, Michael Vick, Orlando Pace.
Wow.
Kajana Carter in 1995, which, remember, back in 1995, that was still when running backs were just as valuable as quarterbacks in a lot of ways. Things were starting to change.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is the hazard. The dumbest one ever was Dallas trading up for Russell Maryland in 1991.
1991, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
But wow. Then Jeff George, Irving Fryer way back in 1984, John Elway in 1983.
Yep.
It's almost always a quarterback or perhaps an Orlando Pace type of player. And it's just that's the story on the number one overall pick is that it's never as valuable as people think it is, except in RG3 or Andrew Luck RG3 type situation.
That's right. That's absolutely right. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Payne and Pendergast with you here. People are weighing in on the Tyrod Taylor. Should they sign Tyrod Taylor and keep him? There's a lot of people agreeing with that here on the text page. Text message, do y'all think Philadelphia is out on Watson? That's a good question. In fact, that's a question that I actually have. I have that for you, Seth, in the rundown. In fact, we'll hit. You know what, Texter? Sit tight. We're going to hit that in the next segment. We've got big questions coming out of Week 11, and I think that's one of them. I think Philadelphia. I think Nick Sirianni. I can't believe I'm saying this because it's Nick Sirianni, and he's given some of the most ludicrous sound bites of any coach. They've done a really good job of adapting to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. So I don't know. Are they out on Watson? I think the bigger question with Philadelphia, Seth, is probably. Would Watson be okay with going to Philadelphia? All indications throughout the whole saga over the summer is no, he would not want to go there.
Yeah, maybe things will change.
Yeah.
Especially, my hope for maximum chaos is, you know, is that everybody in Miami gets fired and the new guys in charge don't want Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I know the owner right now wants him, but if a new GM comes in and is like, listen, you don't want Deshaun Watson for reason A, B, and C, I think that there's a good chance that they wouldn't want him. So hopefully, because then that would bust everything wide open potentially. Because if Deshaun loses like the place he really wants to go, maybe then he'll just be more likely to say, all right, fine. Here are the five other places that I would have been okay going.
That's what I'm hoping for with Deshaun. I'm hoping that this thing arrives at Deshaun's side and the Texans sitting down and saying, hey, look, you got this no trade clause. We gave it to you, and certainly not in the spirit of the way that you're using it. Miami is, and hopefully, like you said, Miami's out. Give us four or five teams. You know what I mean? Like, give us something where we can create a market for you. The problem with that is that Deshaun, if he gives them an option that creates a market for Deshaun, then theoretically, that's an opportunity for the Texans to further weaken whatever team he goes to. You know what? I think that's a fair thing to ask. Like, why would Deshaun do something that allows the Texans to pilfer as much as possible from the team that he's about to go to?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Boy, that's a really good point, Sean.
Yeah.
I guess we're just in that scenario, we'd have to believe that Deshaun actually gives a damn about team success or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, last year he seemed awful happy to accept all the praise for having an awesome quarterbacking performance in a year where the offense wasn't any good.
He did.
But my passing numbers are good. Yeah, the offense sucks, but my passing numbers are good.
Yeah, I gave that a pass last year. I'm now angry about that he was doing that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's all right. Go with it.
Okay, good.
You just got to go with it.
Good, yeah, good. All right, good. I feel angry. I'm angry at you.
I pointed it out a lot last year, but I didn't have nearly the same level of over it.
No, he was the most popular athlete in town at the time. So, now not so much. All right, next chance to win Texans tickets to see the Texans and the Jets will be between 9:45 and 10 o'clock today. You heard me just talking. Do we think Philadelphia is out on Deshaun Watson? I've got that question. Also, who should be more concerned from their team's loss in Week 11? Bills fans with the loss to the Colts or Titans fans with the loss to the Texans? That and a whole lot of other big questions coming out of Week 11 of the NFL is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.